Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Volunteer State Bank conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Labor Day morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, reacting to a 23-3 loss for Vanderbilt against ETSU on Saturday in Clark Lee's debut. And many things went wrong for Vanderbilt on Saturday. The quarterback play was not great. We mentioned the line of scrimmage in the last segment. ETSU won that battle handily, and it was just really a game from start to finish where Vanderbilt couldn't get anything going offensively, and a couple of big mistakes at the end of the game really blew that game open, including a play where Ken Seals just literally dropped the ball as he's trying to throw it. So some unforced errors a part of the equation as well for Vanderbilt, and obviously not a positive environment for Clark Lee after the game, and lots to work on for this Vanderbilt program as they move forward here. Here was Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee after the game on Saturday, a 23-3 loss for Vanderbilt against East Tennessee State.
Hey Clark, I'm just curious, what did tonight maybe tell you about how far you may have to go with this rebuild and what the journey may look like in order to get there?
Well, this is a tough result to stomach. I mean, you know, but listen, I didn't sign up for this, or, you know, we as coaches and as players, we understand that part of being in the arena competition is, you're going to learn a lot about yourself. There are going to be good results and there are going to be bad results. And we have to make the choice to win the response. That's as simple as it is. Where does it tell me where we are in the rebuild? Hey, look, we have a long way to go. But I mean, I knew that heading into the season. We can cover that ground quickly if we set our intention to learning from this, not letting this define us. We can be disappointed, but let's not be defeated. Let's understand that this is game one of 12 scheduled games this season. And so let's use it as an opportunity to fuel us forward and maybe a moment that that expedites our progress towards the program that we know we can build here. And so this has always been about the vision for the future at Vanderbilt. It's never been about just playing East Tennessee State on September 4th. This is about how we build this program to sustain success over time. And this can be a critical learning moment for everyone involved as we move forward.
So that was Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee after the loss on Saturday, talking about, you know, this game. It's never been about just the ETSU game, and there's a lot of work to do as they move forward here. Joe Rexroad, I ask you, you were in the building on Saturday. You saw what happened here and what the state of this football team is at the moment. How do you go about responding and building from here if you're Clark Lee? When you also factor in, I think, a really interesting element that you brought up earlier, and that is the quarterback position. You've got Ken Seals. You've got Mike Wright. Obviously, Ken Seals has been the better passer throughout camp. Mike Wright, maybe the best athlete that Vanderbilt has on the field in general, much less at the quarterback position. How do you go about responding from here if you're Clark Lee in this Vanderbilt program as they continue to move forward and trying to get over a loss to an FCS program to begin their season?
Well, it's a huge week in terms of, again, just Vanderbilt fans who are upset, who are, I mean, seriously asking, like if he goes 0-12, is it possible he'll be fired? Like, already getting to the, like, please calm down. But it's a huge, in the real world, it's a huge week for him, for them to respond, for them to play better, at least be competitive in this game. I think for just in terms of him and his players sticking together this year, if it's hopeless every Saturday and more than not are just purely embarrassing, I mean, it's just hard. It's hard to do all the things you want to do with the program in the first year if it's that bad in the field of play. So it's a huge week, huge test of him and his coaching staff. You know, it's funny, some of the reaction, it's not surprising, but it does strike me how, like, I I've been impressed with Clark Lea every time he's talked about his team and he's done media stuff. And when he's come on this show, again, I've been impressed with practice and all these things. And certainly, this is who he is. He is going to be a very calm presence. And I watched him quite a bit the other night. There was very little reaction from him out there. It was very, he was very much sort of, and I think that's how he's always going to be. So, you know, if things go well, people are like, oh, look at that calm and the all that chaos going around him. Yeah, and that just rubs off on your team, and no one freaks out. And, you know, kudos to Clark Lea. And if you play like they played the other night, it's like, what? Why isn't he screaming at people? Like, you know, show some emotion, do something, you know. Which, again, that's just how it is. If the product on the field is good, then whatever you're doing, oh, I love that plan. And then if it's this bad, and it was bad. I mean, it wasn't just bad. It was bad.
Yep.
Then it's like you go to all this like, oh, we need a ball coach who screams at – we need some Jeremy Pruitt out there. Like I've always thought, like the fact that Jeremy Pruitt and Clark Lea could both hold the same job is just amazing.
It is.
You know? Like they're both SEC head football coaches. Like those two people. It's quite amazing. So we've already gotten into this whole, oh, he's not emotional enough, he needs a screen, all the, you know, and it's just, but that's how it goes. It's how it goes in this job. And look, this is a public job with, and you are trying to produce entertainment that people want to pay to watch. You're in competition. And there are 12 days a year that everyone gets to see all the work you do and what it means, what the payoff is. This was not a good vision of that. That's just how it is. So he needs something else put on the film, so to speak.
Yeah.
Real fast.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Will from Nashville texting in. Good coverage as always, guys. Y'all know I'm a Vanderbilt fan, and obviously you can't draw sweeping conclusions after one game. But very disappointing. Joe, I didn't see it. Did they look well coached in terms of the stupid penalties / general sloppiness in the game?
Offensively, they did not. They had a lot of the stupid penalties and the pre-snap stuff. Now, they had some other offensive line penalties that were probably a result of deficiencies, like holding and stuff like that. But, no, they had way too many mistakes. I mean, I think offensively, like defensively, I was more surprised because I just didn't expect ETSU to just be able to run at them. But offensively, I think, was a worse night. Offensively, it was a worse plan, play calling, and usage of talent because I know that Ken Seals can play. I think a lot of Mike Wright as a talent. And they have good receivers who have produced in the SEC. And Will Shepard just carried on what he's been. I mean, he is the favorite target, certainly of Ken Seals. He got targeted 19 times the other night. He had 9 catches for 84 yards. He's a good player. So they have some skill. They've got some guys who can play in the SEC on a Saturday and make plays against SEC defensive backs. Now, if you can't block anyone, it doesn't matter. But I also thought that the offensive coach staff did not do enough to help their players. So I would say, no, it's hard to come away from that game and say that there was anything good, including the coaching.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texting in, I was encouraged by the Vandy game. They showed up and played hard, even though they know they aren't a real SEC team.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, then your bar, sir, is like the tiniest fire ant could clear it. I mean, my gosh. I don't mean to rip on someone on a nice Labor Day, but you're encouraged by that crap? I mean, come on.
They played well against ETSU. Actually, they didn't. Played hard, though.
I'm going to have to text you back.
Wayne on the text line, if Clark Lea isn't going to communicate with his players or assistant coaches during the game, he might as well go to the press box, or better yet, just stay at home. This is coming from Wayne. Right. Wayne is upset.
I've heard a lot of this in the last couple of days. A lot of comments on my column off the game. I'm still responding to comments on that, including like, just get rid of the program. Just please, no more football program. I mean, it's
Joe thrives off these comments. Look at his texting fingers right now. He's like, I need to text back as soon as possible.
It's going.
No, I need to swear at Ben now. I can't do that on the air. You know, I need to throw some F-bombs at him. I'm just kidding. I will text him, though.
Dennis texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. People often confuse yelling and antics with fire and leadership.
Yeah.
That is true.
Well, listen, it's like, let's go to the contrast of Jeremy Pruitt, or of Clark Lee. Jeremy Pruitt, you know, he's someone who comes to mind. Like, think about, like, you know, kicking the dry erase board and just screaming. And I mean, man, I was on the field. It was a BYU game. And, you know, they give up the big play to Zach Wilson, BYU, and he spends an entire timeout screaming every possible piece of profanity in the face of Alante, not talking to his team, not you know, talking about the next. And by the way, then Alante Taylor gives up inside leverage on a slant and as Pruitt told us after the game, every time they lined up in that to the field side, they were going slant, but Taylor didn't play inside leverage. And as I wrote that night, well, maybe you should have spent the time out talking about that instead of screaming F-bombs at him.
So
again, no, but when things were going well, what did people say? Oh, that fire, that's a ball, that coach. Passion. That's you get past. You know, there's different ways to do it. I mean, we watched Brian Kelly last night. Clark Lee coached under Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly has eviscerated his quarterbacks on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to the point a couple times where I'm like, dude, like, get him away from the kid.
Right.
Well, Brian Kelly's been pretty successful. If you win, whatever your personality is good. If you lose, whatever your personality is bad. I would, in general, agree that a head coach, it's not like I watch Clark Lee every single second of the game. I'm in the press box. We're behind the Vanderbilt bench. I did watch him a lot, and I thought he was very much an observer and probably should be more vocal. But again, if that's your personality, if that's what you want to do. He had assistants all over the place running around yelling and stuff. If you win, then that's a great plan, you know. And if you lose, this will be part of what people have a problem with about Clark Lee.
Christopher on Periscope says, I will admit Vandy gets a tough hand. Academics, poor football history, lack of athletic department development, and competing in the SEC would drag down any program. This program has a long way to go under Clark Lee, but it will be interesting to see how he does.
I mean, ultimately, look, I've been saying this for months. When you look at the investment, the administrative support, you look at, you know, the chancellor, Daniel Diermeier, who, by the way, was hanging out in the press box and going, talking to all the reporters before the game, AD Candace Lee, what they seem to have in terms of people getting along, being on the same page, investment, this city, name, image, likeness, new coach. I'm still very intrigued by what Vanderbilt could become. This doesn't change my mind that he could do something and really bring them to a new level. But the one game of football that we've seen, it was just abysmal. I was stunned. I mean, I really thought that we'd see some signs of all the stuff they've been trying to change with the culture.
Yes.
And there just was nothing positive.
Well, there's been a lot of comparisons to the Temple game to begin Derek Mason's tenure, and I was in the house for that one. It was something to watch, and it was awful. If you're a Vanderbilt fan, this is worse. Like, Temple is an FBS football team, and at the time, Matt Rhule was the coach. This is a bad loss.
Well, yeah, it's way worse as who you lost to. Now, again, I think Randy Sanders is doing a good job at ETSU. He's a good coach. Has great history as an OC, as you know.
That's right.
But Temple, Matt Rhule, that was certainly a better program. Now, the difference, though, is that Derek Mason inherited a good program.
Correct.
So the idea was, can you take it to the next level? And he talked about doing that, and then that happens. This is inheriting an 0-9 team from Derek Mason. 0-9 in the SEC, but still 0-9. So, yeah, now it's like, can you somehow get this back to being decent? So from that perspective, I guess you could say it's not as bad, but the specific loss to the specific opponent is worse.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on college football and look at how week one impacted the college football playoff picture. We'll do this each and every Monday here on Robbie and Rexro. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to GameNashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. You can save cash with a purchase of a $10 gift card for Retro Snow for only $5. Nashville's original shaved ice truck, bringing back snowballs with creativity and pure cane sugar, dreaming up new flavor combinations and adding fresh, delicious toppings is what makes us Retro Snow and Nashville's original shaved ice truck. Go visit their first ever permanent location in the nation's at 806 51st Avenue North, open Friday 4 to 7 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can check out Retro Snow's truck schedule at RetroSnowTruck.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. And it was quite the weekend in the world of college football, and the college football playoff picture already impacted early on, Joe Rexroad. But honestly, I look at it from week one, and I feel pretty much the same as I felt heading into the season about it. And that is this: even with the big game of Georgia and Clemson over the weekend, Georgia gets a big win. I think that impacts the college football playoff more if Georgia loses that game, because I still think Clemson's going to be in there. I think they're going to run the table the rest of the way. I think Georgia now has a pretty good track to get into the college football playoff. And I feel great about Alabama and Ohio State. So my four teams that I had to make it before the season began, still feeling pretty good about, Joe Rexroad.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm just looking at...
Sorry, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think they've got to hope someone stumbles. Yeah, I mean, even though Clemson has. Like, Clemson, I look at their schedule. They are at Pitt. Pitt looks pretty good so far. We're gonna get a good...
Yeah, we're about to find out.
By the way, we're going to have Pat Narduzzi on this week.
All right.
A little Pat Narduzzi on the show this week.
Yeah.
So. Already badgered him. He's like, all right. So we'll get Pat on the show to talk some.
We think we can get him to like guarantee victory or something.
Probably not. You never know with Narduzzi. He's a good talker. But I mean, Clemson's there. They're at Louisville. At NC State. Yeah. No, they're gonna run the table, and they're gonna be there. And Georgia is gonna run the table.
You think so?
Well, run the table to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Their schedule is pretty soft this year.
Georgia's is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
again, outside of obviously Clemson. You just had Clemson, so it's not that soft. But, like, the next few weeks here and, like, their crossover play in the SEC, they should be fine.
Yeah. Oh, so Clemson's schedule is soft. But, yeah, Georgia's now is. Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, 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 for sure. And then Alabama, I just... You know, Texas A&M, great. They're not. I can't buy it. I can't buy anybody but Alabama. And if Alabama goes into Atlanta and handles Georgia, and that's their only loss, yep, they're fine. And then I'm just going to, you know, Ohio State looked a little bit vulnerable for a while. PJ Fleck, they were rowing the boat, but.
Then it sunk.
I mean, they do have, you know, Ohio State has a tougher road than. Like Georgia and Clemson, for example, but I think they'll be fine. So it'll probably be the same four teams, and we'll like if we weekly talk about this, yeah, it's going to be the same thing until shocking events happen. That probably won't happen.
Well, what if, like, you know, Oklahoma struggled this weekend, 40-35 against Tulane? What if they figure things out, and go undefeated?
Well,
like if Oklahoma is undefeated, even though you look at their schedule. Other than the Iowa State game, which by that time I think Iowa State's not going to be quite as good as they are right now in the rankings. It's not a lot there on that Oklahoma schedule.
Yeah, so let's say they do. They go undefeated, and it's you're comparing them against a Clemson that lost to Georgia and a Georgia that lost to Alabama. I don't see how anyone in their right mind could put Oklahoma in over them. Some people will say, undefeated.
Yeah.
And this is why I like that we have a committee, because a committee can watch Oklahoma play and watch those teams play and say they'd lose by 3 touchdowns to both those teams.
Yeah.
So, no. Oklahoma needs someone to slip up to get in the playoff.
No love for the Big 12. Just continued bad news for the Big 12.
Oklahoma doesn't even have love for the Big 12,
That's
Robbie.
True. That's right.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oklahoma, they're you could call them a Big 12 team or a pre-SEC team.
Yes.
It's like pre-K for them, you know, pre-SEC.
Still working on that defense.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, like, Tulane, they look good.
Yeah.
But really? Like, you had to barely get the QB down and maybe late hit him even on that play.
Yeah.
He ends up a half yard shorter. Who knows how that game turns out. So, sadly, for this sport. See, this thing. I saw some of this reaction. I thought it was an incredible weekend of football.
Thought it was, too.
I loved it. Last night was great. Like, either of those teams last night, are they going to beat, like, a Clemson? I don't think so. But it was great. So, you can get hung up in college football on the fact that we basically know who's going to be in the playoff. Or you could
enjoy.
Like, still enjoy, like, all the great games. And whatever your team is, like, I'd be excited if I was at Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, the Sparty Homers in my household, they were awfully excited Friday night, running all over Northwestern. They're not going to threaten for anything. They might win 7 games this year. But whatever. It was fun to watch, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Tennessee right now, you're interested to see what you can do against Joe Milton. Nobody has any lofty expectations for Tennessee, but you're in on watching your team, right?
For sure. It's going to be, look, this I believe it's 11 o'clock game on Saturday. It's going to be interesting. Pittsburgh, Tennessee. I think the early returns were Pittsburgh a slight favorite.
Is that what it is now?
Are you surprised by that?
No. I think Pittsburgh should be a slight favorite.
Yeah.
I think that's the right call. Lot to prove here for Tennessee.
I will say the college football picture, not yet complete for week one. There is a game tonight, Ole Miss and Louisville, and going to be without Lane Kiffin. That takes away some of the fun.
Kiffin in there. It does. It's funny how things work in life. Like, Lane Kiffin is now like this great voice of reason in the world, you know? But actually, the Lane Kiffin situation is a great example of, because they're 100% vaxxed, there's no close contact. Like, basically their quarterback could be out tonight and others if not for that fact. So
there's
a good example of, you know, how that matters and how that helps you on the field if you can get there.
Lane Kiffin, the Ole Miss, still a 9.5-point favorite, even without Lane Kiffin tonight.
L's down, Jared. L's down.
L's down.
Oh, is that the big?
That's the thing.
Is that what
L's
they say
down
on Catterday?
L's down, like
L's
this
down. So, was that like a response to the horns down thing, or does that predate the horns down?
Oh, I bet it's a response.
Yeah,
it's a response.
Everything is like your rival team down, whatever they are.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody down except for
L's down. Looks like putting a gun in a holster. You know?
I will say this, though, guys. Think about it. It's week one. We already essentially know 90% who will be the 4 teams. Doesn't this kind of get you excited for a 12-team playoff?
Yeah. Like, I was always for this. I just thought this is all you need. We talked last week about, like, Auburn that year, Jason Campbell. They got left out. An undefeated Auburn team. Instead, it's Oklahoma, USC. Like, that can't happen. But you're not, like, you will never go to a 5th team, I don't think, and say, oh, that team was going to win it all. Like, I think you're fine with 4. But, yes, the fact that it's so predictable and it's just, there's this upper crust that's a small group and then there's everybody else. Yeah, I'm for the 12 team. It just lets teams have access to it and maybe they can pull off upsets and maybe, you know, the landscape may change by then too. So, yes, but I also just, I think people overly obsessed with that it's only about the playoff teams are missing, like, what's in front of them, which is pretty great.
Is Bryce Young going to win the Heisman that we learned week one in college football?
Yes.
He looked awfully good.
He would have to be, in the
everybody's
super,
preseason
super
favorite was Spencer Rattler. And I got to tell you, did not look great for the Oklahoma quarterback on Saturday.
Yeah, he had some real bad mistakes. I mean, he ended up – I mean, they won because of their offense.
Sure.
But to me, probably Bryce Young. I mean, there's nobody offensively for – I mean, obviously, Uiagalelei hurt by the other night.
He was.
You have to be. There's nobody offensively. I mean, JT Daniels honestly didn't help himself either. I mean, 10-3 games, not helping anybody on offense.
No.
A 10-3 game with no offensive touchdowns.
Yes.
So there's still a lot of season to go. And, you know, there's always a couple of guys who are just doing ridiculous things statistically that could get in there. It would be very boring if just the Alabama quarterback won because he's really good, but also he's just the Alabama quarterback. But well, I don't know what the list would be right now.
Tua didn't win a Heisman. Mac Jones didn't win a Heisman.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like,
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, Tua would have won a Heisman.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, he would have. But somebody will emerge. Maybe Zach Charbonnet for UCLA. He had an awesome game.
He did. Pretty awesome game.
Former Michigan Wolverine.
That's right.
Maybe Joe Milton.
When we come back, we've got a very interesting story regarding Mike Vrabel and former Texas coach Tom Herman. Kind of an interesting connection here. We'll get to that coming up next. Maybe almost literally an interesting connection. But on the other side, this is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune into this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week is the Cleveland Browns taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Coverage begins at 2:45 with a 3:25 kickoff. Make sure you're also tuning in tonight on ESPN 94.9 from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage, featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. You can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about our free Kasasa checking account. Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Labor Day morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, an interesting kind of connection that you've uncovered and that you've told me about of Mike Vrabel and Tom Herman, which I'm very fascinated to hear more of this story. We talked briefly about it during a break one time a couple of segments ago. But what is the connection that's out there between Mike Vrabel and Tom Herman that you've come across here?
Well, okay, so Peter King had it in his Monday column, but this is from a podcast. Okay, and it's funny because I got an email from Ray Stallone.
Okay.
Who apparently produces this podcast. It's called Glory Days, Dreams, and Nightmares, Season 1, and it's about the 2014 Ohio State National Championship season, and it's Buckeye Joshua Perry and Evan Spencer, who are both great players on that team. So it's a podcast about that. Now, Joshua Perry is also – actually, he does a podcast with Kayla Anderson. He's also one of the guys I talked to last summer for a piece on the 2012 Buckeyes and Vrabel and Urban Meyer and yep. all the connections and how that kind of now kind of translates to what the Titans have as a coaching staff. You know, Shane Bowen among those, and Stretch too, by the way. Stretch, yeah. all kinds of people who are here who were there then. So one guy that I reached out to a lot of coaches, and I think everyone responded. The one who didn't respond, now, he was a head coach under fire at the time, but was Tom Herman.
Yes.
Tom Herman was radio silent, had apparently no interest in doing this piece about 2012 Ohio State and Mike Vrabel and all this stuff. So this makes a little more sense. So this is from Joshua Perry. This is a quote from Perry in the podcast. He's talking to Evan Spencer. Quote, "Do you remember when Tom Herman tried to fight Mike Vrabel? Mike Vrabel, a literal pit bull, and Tom Herman, a Yorkshire Terrier, barking at Vrabel, hold me back, hold me back. And Mike's like, no, if he wants to fight, don't hold him back." That's end quote.
Jeez.
That's Joshua Perry from the from the podcast.
Hold him back. Let him come on down.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Herman's like, oh, I'm going to, come on, man, please hold me. Grab me. Someone grab me. Come on. He's like, you know, struggling to like, Vrabel's like, no, let him go, really. I mean, that's, ooh, talk about a mismatch.
My goodness. That's about to say, man. Come on.
So that's interesting. So this is 13, okay, because 12, they went undefeated. They weren't very talented. That was one of the least talented Ohio State teams, like in recent memory. It was Urban's first year. They go 12-0, but they have a bowl ban, so they can't, you know, they can't do anything beyond 12-0. So 13 is, at that year, actually, they lost to Michigan State in the Big Ten championship game. So I don't know when this was. That was the night of, you may remember this gif. I was in the same little locker area at Lucas Oil Stadium, the sad pizza, Urban Meyer.
Oh, yeah.
that was a sad pizza night. Urban sitting there sadly eating his whatever kind of pizza that was. But so I don't know when this fight happened. But so Vrabel at the time was like D-line coach. The D-line coach ticking off the OC that much.
Jeez.
It's interesting.
Well, think about that, though. Like, so you're going back to 8 years ago at this point, 8-9 years ago. So Vrabel is fresh off his playing days. Now, you know, I wouldn't mess with Mike Vrabel right now, but he was even more in shape back then, you would think. And then Tom Herman trying to go after Vrabel, that would not have gone well for Tom Herman. I'm glad whoever was there holding them back held him back, because that would not have gone well.
Well, the thing I need to I need to know now is, like, what did Vrabel say?
I know.
Because you've got to be just stupid if you're Tom Herman to even think about this. I mean, you got to be stupid to, like, even look funny at him, right?
You would think so.
But you actually something that Vrabel said actually got him that fired up, that he wanted to fake fight him and hope someone held him back.
I mean, Tom Herman looks like he's, you know, normal size.
He's an average-sized man.
I'm sure that there are situations he could handle himself well in. Mike Vrabel's not one of those situations.
Right. I mean, yeah, he could, you know.
You can ask him today, Joe, in his press conference.
He could fight Jeremy Pruitt. What's that?
You can ask Vrabel today in his press conference.
Yeah, you could say, let's go back. Let's revisit this disagreement you had with Tom Herman.
Hi, Mike. I know that the season's starting this week and everything, but what about that fight with Tom Herman back in 2013?
What'd you say?
I need Jared to show up today at the presser. Jared, if you're listening, come to the presser. I know it's Labor Day. You probably are drinking, like, some whatever those
white
things
claws.
Are called. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Some white claws on a boat somewhere. But if you're not, I think you should come to the presser and ask Vrabel about the fight with Tom Herman.
Some Tom Brady avocado tequila.
Yeah, there you go. I need to listen to this podcast to see if there's any more context given to, because, like, if you drop that, like, isn't the automatic question is, okay, well, why did it get to this?
Yes.
But, yeah, Tom Herman. Well, now I know. Now I don't feel as bad about Tom Herman not responding to interview requests about Mike Vrabel.
Maybe it makes a little bit more sense now. Yeah. Where is Tom Herman now, by the way?
I think he's with the Bears. Okay. I'm pretty sure he is an analyst with the Bears. So
he is.
Yep.
Offensive analyst for the Chicago Bears. So Tom Herman now working with Justin Fields, which means Tom Herman was here a couple of weeks ago while Mike Vrabel was not on the field.
Ooh. Mm. That's right. That's a good thing, I guess.
I guess so.
Worked out pretty well for all involved.
Well, Vrabel.
So what? You know, Tom Herman, who, by the way, LSU fans across the board wanted him.
Oh yeah,
they didn't get him. Now you got Coach O, but then he goes to Texas. Doesn't work out. Also, Tom Herman, I think, would be a wonderful candidate when Bill O'Brien inevitably gets a head coaching job because of this rehab coaching assignment with Alabama, when they'll light up the world with his offense.
Sure.
Tom Herman could be next. He could be the next Nick Saban reclamation project. Bring him in. Okay, you score 40 points a game with Alabama, and then you get a job somewhere else.
Hey, maybe you're
we're
something
playing
here.
It all. Yeah, it's all playing out. Tom Herman trying to fight Mike Vrabel. Boy.
I really need there to be some sort of dust up sometime. I'm not saying I'm rooting for a fight. But, like, I'm trying to think around. We've talked about the NFL. I put college sports in there, too. Like, there's no head coach out there that, but yeah, take on Mike Vrabel. See how that goes.
Coach O, like, if Coach O were a little younger, he's
maybe. It probably still wouldn't go well.
Probably not. Big guy,
big
though.
Big dude.
Big, yeah, big brother guy. Yeah. I mean,
Dan Campbell's the only one.
Dan Campbell, would be epic, man. Lions-Titans Super Bowl.
I can see it now.
Dan Campbell and Vrabel pregame. Kind of like, you know, Jim Harbaugh and – or not Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh
yeah.
and Vrabel kind of had some words before that game last year. But John Harbaugh wasn't – he wasn't
– he wasn't thinking about anything other than
– Yeah, he wasn't coming close to making that physical. He didn't need anybody to fake hold him back.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Yeah. So, hopefully
I don't know
someday.
Whether to respect that from Tom Herman or to just question his sanity. Maybe a little bit of both.
Well, it's just like with Clark Lee or whoever. If things are going well, then whatever your personality is, however you do it is smart and it's the right way to do it. And then if Tom Herman were winning at Texas right now, then I might be like, oh, yeah.
A little fiery.
That guy's tough and feisty. But since it didn't work out, it's just dumb. Never mind. It's just dumb.
It's just dumb.
It's just dumb. But again, I need to, like, I mean, Vrabel, great thrower of barbs. just, you know, again, on the practice field, so it's he's the head coach, these are the players, but just fantastic barbs. And what must the barb have been in that coaching room, or wherever they were? Well, if the players saw it, then it must have been on the practice field.
Must have been.
Or I guess a team meeting, but probably on the practice field. What must he have said for Tom Herman to actually even get to that point? I got to know.
It's got to be somewhere for sure. And then, you know, it's interesting. We talked about the piece last week at The Athletic, taking kind of a deeper look at Mike Vrabel and how Mike Vrabel has become Mike Vrabel at the Titans level. It's interesting, that piece, a little bit more of an in-depth look at Vrabel's personality and how he's gotten to this point in his coaching career. He's a fascinating guy when he wants to be. He really is.
Yeah, it was a really good piece by Dan Pompey. Yeah. And I think it's – I mean, there's some themes that have been written about before, and comments that were similar to some given before by some players about, you know, Vrabel and life balance and sort of like football guy, intense. You know, you have to spill it every time you're in the practice field. But it's like, okay, your kid has a game. Yeah, go. Yeah. Go watch your kid play a game. Like understanding – you know, personal stuff has to be respected. So, no, I thought it was a really good piece, and you know, some more stuff on his family as well. So, look, it's the balance of pushing people and not alienating people. That's a great challenge in coaching.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dennis texting in. So, did Vrabel fake a positive test just to avoid possibly running into Tom Herman?
There we go.
It could have been it.
So through all of this, it's actually Vrabel has been afraid of Tom Herman. I think that adds up. I just love the fact that he's like, no, don't hold him back. No, come on. Let him go. Come on.
Over here.
Come on. There's got to be video of this somewhere, right? Like someone must have had their phone out.
I've been Googling trying to find it for the whole segment. No.
I feel like if there was, we'd have probably seen it by now.
I guess if you're going back to 2013, well, but yeah, but everybody could.
Oh, their phones.
Yeah.
You
could, phones taking
you could
video.
Film. Yeah.
May not have been the best quality.
It's a little bit different now. Yeah.
But it just seems like now there's no way that would happen without someone taping it, right? Like everyone's conditioned now to take video of everything.
Yeah. Like we see, like, there's all these fights now in the stands at college sporting events and MLB games. Like, there was like four over the weekend. Like, what's happening here? Why is everybody fighting each other at these games?
Well,
you just watch a game.
Well, a buddy of mine this weekend was like, are there way more fights happening, or is it just that like we are, like everything's recorded?
That could be.
I mean, that Rams fan who took on like eight, like we had that, like you could watch that from like five different camera angles, like it was a show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then you had the woman in behind, lower, like throwing the beer over the top and getting him going nuts, right? I mean, we had the perspective of her from like over here. And then, I saw three different angles of that thing.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it's, look, I've been to Bears-Lions game.
There's one in Memphis over the weekend?
Yeah. I haven't seen that. I heard that was, but I've been to Bears-Lions games where, like, it was just a brawl fest. And this is quite a few years ago. This is like Jay Cutler era. So I think it's maybe that we just film it more.
It could be. I don't know. It just seems like it's happening a lot. We'll continue to take your thoughts in our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have some tickets to give away as well to the Nashville Sounds. Coming up next, NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Rock Bottom Brewery in downtown Nashville this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jarrett Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Rock Bottom Brewery on Broadway prior to the Titans taking on the Arizona Cardinals. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. We'll be right back here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow night on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds begin a six-game homestand at First Horizon Park against Memphis, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Nashville Sounds Baseball presented by 312 Pizza Company and Farm Bureau Health Plans. And speaking of the Nashville Sounds, we've got some tickets to give away to see the Sounds take on Memphis coming up at First Horizon Park
this Sunday. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caller number 3 will win a family 4-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on Memphis coming up at First Horizon Park this Sunday. And you'll also be able to see Michelle Knezovic throw the first pitch in that game as well. Yes. We're looking forward to it coming up.
Guys, I've been practicing.
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
She's got that arm flowing, ready to go for Sunday.
Nice. I can't wait.
It's going to be some good stuff. So make sure you're caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You can also join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will take place on November the 5th. At Nissan Stadium. You can register and learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Once again, that's lightthenight.org/TN. Joe Rexrode, interesting game last night between Notre Dame and Florida State. Notre Dame gets it done in overtime, 41-38. Great game on the college football docket last night. Mackenzie Milton back in at quarterback, which if you saw the injury that he sustained, what was that, 2018? I think it was 2018. Yeah. So yeah. It's been 3 years now since that took place. For him to be back on the field at all, pretty incredible. But he played well last night when given the opportunity.
Nah, it was awesome. I mean, it should have been, again, if this was a scripted movie or TV show, Florida State wins. And instead, you know, Mike Norvell iced his own kicker in overtime, and they lost. But incredible. Incredible to watch what Mackenzie Milton did. They had his parents in the stands. His mom's crying. You know, they're up there just – it's just incredible. He was told he would never, certainly would never play again, and they weren't sure about, like, even just his general mobility in life, yeah, given the severity of his injuries. So, pretty fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
This is, the you know, two teams that probably won't be in the playoff, but I'll watch that game over and over again.
Absolutely. Great game last night between Florida State and Notre Dame, including some interesting comments after the game from Brian Kelly as well. That's apparently got people all in a rage today on Twitter. I did not see this until earlier today when you made me aware of these comments, but people on Twitter pretty upset at Brian Kelly right now.
So, okay, so let me see if I can find the exact line. But basically he's like, it's all about execution. I wanted to execute my team. Okay. Yes. So
implying they did not execute very well.
Right, and then, of course, he makes the joke about, well, about killing everyone, yes. I suppose.
Yes.
So, yeah, or maybe our entire team needs to be executed tonight, okay?
Yes.
So, yeah, this is a John McKay reference. John McKay, the longtime, I mean, if you want to Google something, if you're not familiar with, like, John McKay and the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this guy was, they were early in their time as a franchise, as an expansion franchise in the NFL with those creamsicle uniforms, and they were just like guaranteed to go like 2-14.
Some good looking uniforms though.
So yeah, those were pretty. So anyway, this is what Kelly said in the post game. He's like, it's an old John McKay quote. I was kidding. I was being tongue in cheek. It wasn't funny. I was making a joke about it. It was taken serious. Are you people crazy? And I must say, this is kind of like with, you know, like the Dilfer thing last week. Like I can't get outraged about this. I understand. I mean, look,
I'm so tired of Twitter. I really am.
Well, yeah.
It's so bad.
But someone speaking of Twitter, see, it also has benefit. Someone said, gosh, good thing he didn't say this other John McKay line, which was, yeah, we're like 3 or 4 plane crashes away from the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean,
it's a little bit different.
It's, you know, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Just being funny. So, yeah, that was one of those moments where big reaction to it, and it's like, okay. I mean, it probably wasn't that funny, I guess.
Like, I don't think of Brian Kelly as like this big comedian.
Right. So. Like John McKay, that's who he was. Right. You know, he's like the Duffy Doherty, like, yeah, the good news is we got 20 starters back from last year. The bad news is we got 20 starters back from last yes. year. You know. That's John McKay. That's not Brian Kelly. He's not typically very funny at all. So the joke probably didn't go over well, but you know, he wasn't actually saying he wanted to kill his team.
Michelle, we have this sound? All right, let's hear last night after the game from Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly. Here's what he had to say after the game last night.
Game had it all. Yeah. What did you think of your team's ability to withstand Florida State's impressive comeback?
Yeah, you know, I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
That was Brian Kelly. I mean, it's a decent attempt at humor.
Hey.
Again, the delivery's not great. I wouldn't say he's necessarily funny, but I appreciate the attempt.
That is an important part of the joke is that I'm in favor of execution. Yes. I mean, that's actually an important part of the. So it almost feels like, is it possible that he like had this planned? Like, I'm going to be a new Brian Kelly this year. I'm going to be a funny guy.
Yeah.
Now, of course, his team could have executed extremely well, and then he wouldn't be able to use that joke. But at some point, that joke was ready to be used, and he used it. So, I don't know. We'll see if there's any reaction today. I hope not. Let it go.
Tom Pelissero coming out says, the Titans are waiving cornerback Chris Jones. A source said, with a lot of cornerback needy teams, he could get claimed. So, Titans now down to 52 on the 52-man roster with Chris Jones being waived.
Yeah, when they had the initial not real 53, you know, I came up with five names that I think will be out once everybody comes off the COVID list, and he was the first guy I thought of. There's just no room for him. They were way too heavy at DB, so this is completely expected that he would be cut. So I think at least one person should be activated as long as all went well from the COVID list today. Yeah. And Ben Jones and Nate Davis, maybe today or maybe tomorrow. I don't know. I don't have the timelines in front of me. But both of them soon and in theory available for Sunday, which would be big. Titans need both those guys on the field starting, playing the whole game Sunday.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. And they did get some good news over the weekend. Ryan Tannehill has been activated off of the COVID list, so it looks like Tannehill will be at practice today and throughout the week here, and then will be available for the Titans coming up as they begin week one against Arizona. So, obviously, very good news to get your starting quarterback into the fold, and Ryan Tannehill should be full go as the Titans move ahead this week. And, Joe, we finally made it. Week one of the NFL season is upon us. We just had a wonderful weekend of college football. Our first edition of Pigskin Pick'em coming up on Friday. This is a big week here on the show.
It is. And fantasy drafts. That's our fantasy draft. And you know what?
I got a big one tonight, too.
Me, too.
Big one.
And guess what? Titans Media, that got your butt kicked by me last year, it's going to happen again this year. That's right. I'm not taking a nap before the draft at 9 o'clock tonight.
I don't know if I buy that.
Joe is napping.
I would love to. Well, it's like Titans practice. We've got a barbecue we have to go to. When am I going to find a nap?
You got to fit in some time right after the
barbecue. You know what I should do? I should just auto-draft and still win the Titans Media League. Maybe I'll do that tonight.
Maybe a little bit too much confidence coming from Joe Rexroth.
But then Then I'd sleep. You would. It's very needed.
That does it for us today here on the program. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Robbie and Rexroth presented by Volunteer State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Darren Donica Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase. necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.